The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Oh, it's finally here. Gender inclusiveness. It is finally here. Thank goodness. It has finally come to the Boy Scouts. First, you know, they lifted their ban on gay and trans leaders, and now the Boy Scouts are accepting Girl Scouts. And what could be more progressive? What could be better? The reaction from the left and from the Girl Scouts themselves is unabashedly and surprisingly negative, however. Girl Scouts USA just released a statement saying the need for female leadership has never been clearer and more urgent than it is today. And only Girl Scouts has the expertise to give girls and young women the tools they need for success, end quote. I would agree with that. Wait a minute. Hold on just a second. That's the bigoted Glenn Beck saying that. How could I possibly agree with that? Are the Girl Scouts, an increasingly left-leaning organization, actually advocating a difference between girls and boys, men and women, advocating gender exclusivity? Where is the tolerance? Oh my gosh, where is... For some reason, liberals are suddenly traditionalists when it comes to keeping the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts separate. It's a narrative that flies in the face of everything they've said they've stood for. There is no difference. We're all the same. What girls can do, girls can do. What boys can do, well, girls can do as well. I'm strangely finding myself in agreement with the Girl Scouts today. I'm sure the Boy Scouts would love the increased membership because Boy Scouts is dying. And so they want the opportunity to bring more people in. I mean, I would imagine in a few years, if you're a dog, you can also be a Boy Scout. I'm sure also the convenience of sending all of their children to one place for scouting. But there is something to be said for letting girls be girls and boys be boys and have different scouting experiences. Now, I know this is very controversial, or is it? There's nothing wrong with having a male-centric or female-focused organization. Nothing wrong with that. Male leadership and strong male friendship is important to the development of our young men. They need strong men and strong role models. Just as female leadership and friendship is important to our young women, they need strong women leadership. But there's one other problem with this, and I hate to even bring it up, because we don't have a problem with sexual predators in this country, right, Hollywood? We don't have a problem with any kind of sexual coercion or anything like that. What could possibly happen with our sons and our daughters out in the woods together by themselves at night? What could possibly happen? I mean, after all, you remember the sign, no girls allowed. You know, they've had them up on their tree forts forever until they reach a certain age, and then that seems to go away. But let's not pay attention to that. The only real upside that I see on this is the new girl Boy Scouts. The new girl Boy Scouts might start selling cookies to compete with Girl Scout cookies. And one thing I can get behind is double the amount of cookies.
It's Friday, October 13th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
It's Friday the 13th. Lot to go over today. A ton to go over. I just wanted to bring an update from yesterday's broadcast. At this time, we were talking about freedom of speech and how we don't want government being involved in freedom of speech and freedom of thought. Al Gore recently had a altercation with a journalist. The Spectator's Ross Clark asked him about the Miami sea level rises in the new film, An Inconvenient Sequel. The reporter started to explain that he had consulted Florida International University, the sea level rise expert, and Gore's response was, "Never heard of him. Is he a denier?" Then he looked at the journalist and said, "Are you a denier?" When Clark responded that he was sure climate change is a problem, but he didn't know how big, Gore then said, "You're a denier." Problem with that? Are you a Jew? Are you a Jew? Did somebody check into his family relationship? Are you have any Jewish blood in you? This is the way it happens. And I know that I have gotten in trouble for years by saying that global warming, hardcore global warming activists and people like Al Gore are using the tactics of Nazi Germany. But here it is. He's a denier. Are you a denier? To the press.
Yeah, and remember, it's not just believing that global warming is a real thing. It's believing that it's a real thing, that it's not just 50% or more caused by man, which some scientific reports claim, but it's all caused by man. And it's not just that. It's also that it is catastrophic. It's also that it's catastrophic right now. It's also that you must agree with the solutions to global warming. You must agree with large carbon taxes. You must agree with gigantic government intervention. If you don't hit every one of those things, you are a denier.
So here's Roger Pelkey. He's a political scientist who worked extensively on climate change. He believes that climate change is real. Human emissions of greenhouse gases justify action and that there should be a carbon tax. However, he's a denier because his research has shown that the increasing cost from hurricane damage is not caused by storms made more intense by climate change, but more and pricier property built in vulnerable areas. Even though his research has been proven right and the IPCC's subsequent outputs mostly accepted his arguments, he's now the target of a long, years-long campaign, including massive but baseless takedowns that later turn out to have been coordinated by climate campaigning, a think tank funded by a green billionaire, along with an investigation on him that was launched by a congressman. He finally left climate change for other fields where, quote, "no one is trying to get me fired." He's been sidelined. The problem here is we're not discussing anything anymore. Believe in climate change, but wonder how bad it's really going to be? You're a denier. That's Al Gore. You believe, but you argued that today's policies aren't the best? You're a denier. Ask Chile's environmental minister, because that's what he said. You believe, but you point out problematic findings or media reporting? No room for you. You're a denier. The expanding definition of denier and denial is an attempt to assure that public and policy makers hear from a smaller and smaller group, really what we used to call in high school a clique. Even if an opinion is wrong, we debate. In America, the debate is called the battlefield of ideas. That was the quintessential idea of America, that we would get together and we could hash out anything and we could talk about it. Once you stop talking about it, the only thing that remains is physically fighting about it. Now let's go to healthcare, because where's the truth on healthcare? The Obama administration began the practice of dispersing cost-sharing reduction subsidies to health insurance companies under the Affordable Care Act. This is called the CSR. CSR, cost-sharing reduction subsidies. And how much are we doing now? Is it, what is it, $10 billion? $7 billion last year, an expected $10 billion this year, and the payments are expected to total $130 billion by 2026. And what is this? This is the government bailing out the healthcare companies. So the big insurance companies, they don't want this to go away because they love this. They're getting $10 billion this year. Doesn't that fall into every socialist, I'm sorry, hey, not an actual socialist, somebody who claims they're for socialism? Isn't this what they claim is so bad? The government bailing out these giant corporations, especially healthcare companies? That's one of their biggest mantras. Who started it? Barack Obama. Now, Donald Trump has just reversed this last night. This is a good thing and a bad thing. It's going to cause a lot of pain. However, take it out of the realm of healthcare. Forget about healthcare for just a second and let's have an actual conversation. Here's why this has to go away. It's unconstitutional, and here's why. The funding and this CSR, the subsidies, were put into the healthcare bill. However, Congress has the purse strings, and this is a really important separation of power, because if Congress doesn't hold the purse strings, then they have absolutely no power to stop war or anything else. Is if the president can say, I'm writing the check. If he can say that, Congress has zero power. So Congress enacted this. Let's say Congress decided, yes, we're going to go to war. We're going to actually declare war. They can declare war, but they have to fund it as well. So the safeguard is put in there in case a president decides to go to war and then it turns into something that the people are like, wait, this isn't what we agreed to. This isn't what we want. And the people can rise up and stop the president by saying to Congress, defund the war. And the government cannot continue to fight the war, even though there's been an act of war. If there's no money, they can't fight it. So the separation of powers on the purse string is really important. Here's what happened. The subsidies are just wrong in the first place, but Congress decided to put it into the package. But then what happened? They couldn't fund them. They couldn't get Congress together to say, we're going to fund it. So Barack Obama said, that's all right. I'm just going to write the check. And he signed an executive order and said, we're just funding these. Well, he has no constitutional right to your wallet. None. It all must come through Congress. Another reason to keep it away from the president is so that he can't just spend you into oblivion and you can't stop it. It's like taxes. Do you want one guy to say, you know what, we're going to raise taxes to 80%? No, it's got to go through Congress. So Barack Obama did something unconstitutional and illegal. In fact, a federal judge, this has all been hashed out in the courts. A federal judge said that the United States government has to stop paying these. And in fact, the judge went so far to say every insurance company that is accepting any of this money is accepting stolen goods. So a federal judge has declared that President Obama was actually stealing money unconstitutionally from the Treasury, from you, and spending it in a way that is wholly illegal. So forget about health care. This must stop. Now, there's a problem with the way it's being done. And it's actually going to affect you. And we'll talk about that coming up. I'm going to want to tell you about John and Jennifer. John and Jennifer live in Illinois, and they were recently married, and they have two homes. It was time to sell Jennifer's townhome. Fortunately, Jennifer, hi, Jen, was a listener and is a listener of the Glenn Beck program, and she heard me talking about Real Estate Agents I Trust. So she went to realestateagentsitrust.com and she contacted them, left her phone number. Within a few minutes, somebody called her, and within 48 hours, she was meeting with her and John's new real estate agent. His name is Saul. Saul and his team quickly got to work, and in less than a week, they had multiple offers on her townhome. And I'm happy to report the newlywed couple, John and Jennifer, their townhome sold and closed in less than 6 weeks. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. They're going to help you find a great real estate agent in your town. And thousands of families have already put RealEstateAgentsITrust.com to the test. You want to sell your home for the most money and in the fastest possible way. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. We're going to find somebody that's going to get your home sold or help you buy a new home. Realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So what does... what Donald Trump did yesterday, taking apart Obamacare and then defunding this CSR, what does this actually mean to you?
A lot of people are saying, you're going to see here in the media, that this is going to make your rates go up.
Probably will.
In a way, right? It's to you, as someone who's paying for health care, if you receive these subsidies, they're going to go away and your rates are going to feel like they're going up. However, in reality, the rates aren't going to change at all. Previously, the government was stealing money to hide what the rates were.
So, you know, literally stealing it. That's according to a federal judge, literally stealing from the Treasury. In fact, some have made the case that anyone who is involved in the writing of these checks and the disbursement of this federal money is actually criminally liable.
And again, it's worth pointing out, this is not just, you know, two dopey right-wing talk show hosts making this
point.
A federal judge has already ruled this unconstitutional. This
right.
Is and look at,
and
watch
not
the
just
coverage.
Unconstitutional. Yeah. It's yeah. Theft, labeled by the judge as theft.
And watch the coverage as you hear people talking about this. Sure, they'll talk about rates going up. Yes, they'll talk about how Donald Trump is doing something that is blowing up the healthcare markets. The truth is, these are illegal payments. They have been ruled illegal by a federal judge. They are unconstitutional payments. And that is the lead story here.
Yeah.
The fact that it took a while is something that you could criticize the administration for. I'm really glad they made this move, though. And again, this is a good move. This is a series of good moves by Trump on health care. These are positive things. They're being promoted as, oh, you didn't like executive orders before, and now you like them. That's not what he's doing here.
No, this is not an executive order.
These are unconstitutional payments.
He is stopping the payment. He is stopping something that only the executive can do. And a federal judge has ruled that the last executive, Barack Obama, violated the Constitution and was engaging in theft. Now, quite honestly, that is the first time I have ever heard in my lifetime, and I remember Nixon, in my lifetime, this is the first time high crimes mean something. We're talking about $130 billion being stolen from our Treasury, according to this federal judge. $130 billion being stolen and given to insurance companies. Quite honestly, that is a high crime. Everything else I've seen in my lifetime has been a misdemeanor.
I mean,
a high crime.
Bernie Madoff, I mean, is way bigger than that.
Yes.
This is a much bigger deal.
Yes.
And, you know, you look at this and another point to be made is that the health care bills passed by the Republican House and debated in the Senate and eventually failed, the repeal and replace bills dealt with this issue. So Trump got a bad deal from the Obama administration, an unconstitutional payment. They tried to pass something that would have dealt with it. Not one Democrat voted for it. And now he has stopped the unconstitutional payment and he's getting blamed for it. It is completely ridiculous. Wait, watch every report. Wait how long it is until they tell you these payments are illegal. Again, this is a federal judge that says it. I've been watching this coverage. They are not even talking about the idea
Of course
that this is unconstitutional.
Because we don't care, and people don't care. Because progressives believe ends justify the means. Yeah.
It's mean. You know what you're doing is mean. That's their constitutional analysis of the situation.
Something called the rule of law, and we must return to that, or we will live in a fascistic state. We must return to the rule of law, and congratulations to Donald Trump for actually having the balls to do it. It's going to hurt, but it's the right thing to do.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
62 and counting. We are pleased to report this morning of the successful rescue of a woman, 22 years old, that we can't tell you her name because of the situation, but she is a 22-year-old Yazidi woman. She was a sex slave, somebody who her and her five sisters, her mother, and her four brothers were captured and sold into slavery in Iraq in 2014. She has been on our recovery list since we began to sponsor rescues of these slaves back in 2016. We have been searching for her and her family for a long time. We were able to identify her a couple of weeks ago and captured her last night. We went in and got her. And we can't thank you enough for funding this rescue. Another slave, 62 women have now been saved by these operations, if you will, and you have funded 62 of them. And we have lost operators in the past. They have been captured and killed trying to go in and save these women. One day we will write a book about what you have done. But I will tell you, what is happening now in the Middle East, really honestly, and I say this knowing what I'm saying. What you have done is beginning to make Schindler's List look small. So many people have been moved to safety and moved out from the death zone and been able to get them out. And now 62 women, as of last night, have been actually pulled out of the slave chains that is just beyond your imagination. I told you a few weeks ago that we were going to announce a new phase with the Nazarene Fund, and I hope to do this. We have waited because of the Kurdistan problem. Kurdistan has asked for their own independence. They voted for independence. It appears as though they are going in to take Kirkuk today, the Iraqis and everybody else that wants the Kurds dead. It looks like they're going in and trying to take them. We are going to abandon the Kurds yet again. And I'm telling you now, we will pay a dear price for this. They are the people in the Middle East that are the most like us with our values. They protect Muslims. They protect Christians, Yazidis, atheists. They protect everybody, and they live in harmony. And all they want is their state returned to them. But because we cut it up, I shouldn't say we, because France and Great Britain cut it up in 1918, we're all living with these fake borders, and some people lost their country because of it. The Kurds want their space. They want to be independent, and they want to be able to stop people from gassing them. Is that too much to ask? We haven't been able to announce this next very aggressive phase of the Nazarene Fund, but I hope to do it in the next few weeks. It would be nice to be able to do it before Halloween, but my prayer is that we'll be able to do it at all if things go down in the Middle East and the Kurds are under attack. I'm not sure how many Christian and Yazidi slaves will actually be freed, because the Kurds have been a very, very big help. And if they're under attack, there's really nobody in the Middle East to work with. Please keep them in your prayers. There is a story that's out of Michigan that is horrendous. As we are talking about the rights of women and people should listen to women who claim they have been raped, here's a guy who has raped a woman 27 years ago. I'm sorry. No, sorry. 8 years ago, he was convicted as a sex offender and raped a mother. I should say that it wasn't 8 years ago, it was nine, because the result of that rape with this very brave woman is a son, and he's 8 years old. And now the convicted rapist has sued for joint custody and has won. Finally, the victim has spoken out. You want to hear the voice of a woman who needs our support, our prayers. And this is not the only woman this is happening to in America. You want to see how women are being abused, not just by a man, but by the court system. Listen to cut number one.
I was kidnapped for 2 days. I didn't know if I was ever going to go home. He threatened to kill me and my best friend if we told anyone.
What kind of things come up when you hear his name and see his face?
Horrible things. Horrible images. You know, flashbacks.
So how did this happen? This happened because the state wanted to stop paying her. The city of Detroit in Michigan is having a problem. And so she was on food stamps. She is a struggling mother just to make ends meet. A struggling mother. So she went to the state, and the state decided, well, let's look for dad. Well, they found him. He wasn't hard to find. They found him and said, you need to pay your child support. Well, so then he went to court and said, I'm going to be the dad. I'm going to pay. I want joint custody. And he was given joint custody. Cut two, please.
I was receiving government assistance, and they told me if I did not tell them who the father was of my child, that they would take that away from me.
What did you think about their request?
That it was crazy.
Why?
Because I have been taking care of him for 8 years. I gave up high school. I gave up prom. I gave up my friends to raise a baby and go to work.
How is this not a big story in America? How are we not rallying around her? How do people like Lisa Bloom? What are their priorities? I've got to spend my time defending X, Y, and Z. You're only doing that for the camera. Here's a woman who is really in dire need. No, she's not famous. No, you won't get famous, nor will you get rich. This isn't in the news. People aren't paying attention. And honestly, I don't know why. I think this is a compelling story. It's easy to tell. It's happening around the country. It's not just this woman. This is a story we'll continue to tell. This is a story we will follow, because this is a story that hurts all of us if we claim to be human. Liberty Safe continues to amaze. Not only do they make great safes, but they make it easy to own one now. Now at LibertySafe.com, you can buy a Liberty Safe at a great price and receive 12-month interest-free payments with zero down and zero APR. They even offer Liberty Safes for as low as $20 a month. That's 20 bucks a month. I have been working with Liberty Safe for 7 or 8 years now, and I have not seen them do a deal like this. And there is nothing like owning a Liberty Safe. You have peace of mind. It has lifetime warranty. It's in-home delivery service. It's unmatched in the industry. They will bolt that thing down to the foundation of your house. And believe me, I don't care if you're having a wildfire in California. What you put in that safe will still be there, even though the rest of your house is burnt down. If you are in Tornado Alley, I don't care what's there. If that thing's bolted to your foundation, we've seen it. It's the only thing standing in a neighborhood is a Liberty Safe. Some of them who haven't been bolted down, we've seen lifted up and dropped two blocks away, and it's still closed. Liberty Safe, now with 12 months interest-free payments or as low as $20 a month on approved credit. Every home has valuables. If you have a gun, you need a Liberty Safe. LibertySafe.com, the home of the best-built safes on the planet. Go there now. LibertySafe.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So it's Friday the 13th. I'm a little nervous. You never know what might happen. It's supposed to be the unluckiest day of the year. Yeah, whatever. However, I mean, I actually, there's a sick side of me that would like to actually fly over to Copenhagen just to fly this flight today. Nordic airline Finnair has scheduled a flight today on the 13th hour, so it's already flown, the 13th hour of the day, that would be 1 p.m., on Friday the 13th, this is just, by the way, this is a regular flight. It just all happened to line up this way. Friday the 13th, on the 13th hour, to Helsinki, airport code name Hell, and it's flight 666. So you want to fly to Hell today on Friday the 13th, you can do it on flight 666. They have flown flight 666 to Hell 13 times or 21 times in the last 11 years, but this is the first that it's Friday the 13th, the 13th hour, and it's 666 to Hell.
Are you superstitious enough to not get on that flight?
No, I would actually fly over to be on that flight.
You really would?
Oh, I think that's funny.
Yeah. It's definitely a good story.
Oh, it's a great story. Yeah, I flew to Hell on Friday the 13th on flight 666. Yeah.
I mean, these things always start as good stories, though. You know?
I know. You're like the college students in any slasher film that you're like, oh, come on, nobody would ever. Don't get on the flight. It's 666. It's going to Hell. What is wrong with you? Nobody would do that.
This is way worse than the Titanic saying that they're going to be unsinkable. Like this is they're calling on every single you want to sink this you want this thing to crash into the water. Go ahead, try to make it. Try to make it. It's going to fly no matter what.
And our pilot's going to be drunk and an atheist. and we're going to bleed a goat to death halfway through. The stewardess is going to slit his throat. I mean, you know, there might be some things that would stop me from getting on the flight. The bleeding goat might be, and the drunk atheist pilot might also be.
It's all fun and games too until the turbulence starts. You know, you're gonna you would think yourself, oh my, what an idiot I was.
Yeah, as you were hurling to the sea, mm-hmm. you'd be like, this was the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this happened to the poor teenagers who went to Camp Crystal Lake. I mean, they like, yeah, there's been rumors about this guy who's there, and hey, maybe, you know, maybe this guy's gonna come out and do something, but it's gonna be funny, right?
Right.
We're gonna go there. And we're going to have some sex. We're going to do some drinking.
Right.
And everything's going to be fine. We're going to have a great story to tell everyone.
Right.
And then what happens? You have a 14-inch machete in the back of your head.
Don't do it.
It's no longer funny at that point.
Don't do it.
It's not.
Don't do it.
You know, you think it's funny until you feel the machete poke through your eye from the back.
Right.
And at that point, you realize it's not as humorous as you had once believed.
So I went to the movies last night. It was date night with my wife last night, and we went to see American Made. Have you seen that
yeah,
yet?
Yeah, I did see that. Really
I
good.
Loved it.
Tom Cruise?
I loved it.
Incredible story, too.
Yeah. How true is it? I know it's based on a true story, but is this one like, and the authors have read true stories before?
Yes, because there is a hierarchy of these things.
Yeah.
There is the true story.
Yes.
Then there is based on a true story.
Correct.
Then there is inspired by
a true story.
A true story. Like
and then we've seen true stories.
Yeah, because this one I think is based on a true story. So there is definitely some timeline stuff. There's things that didn't happen at the exact moment. There are some added events and inserted people here and there.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, he did a lot of this stuff. It's a guy, if you don't know the story, it's about a guy who during the 80s went down, initially he was a pilot and took a job with the CIA to fly in and out and take reconnaissance photos.
He actually started under Carter, so he started in mm-hmm. the 60s, I mean in 70s. The 70s.
Yeah, yeah. And then as time developed, he also wound up becoming friends with some drug dealers down there. So he was simultaneously working for the CIA
and drug dealers.
Drug dealers. So he would fly down to take reconnaissance photos and then bring drugs back on his way back in.
So, you know, the nice thing about this is it does... It's a great lesson for the kids because it ends the way you expect it to end.
When you do those things, it
when
ends
you're
the
working
way, yeah.
for the CIA and undercover and drug dealers, it's probably going to have the ending that you expect.
Yes. It's similar to something that happened at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yes.
just a few years ago.
Like, don't get on the plane. Don't get on the plane.
Yeah, it really is. It's that shady. Yeah. But, I mean, it's an amazing story. It's
great.
It's,
and Tom Cruise is great. It's called American Made. You can see it in theaters this weekend. Bill O'Reilly is next.
Glenn Beck.
So if you have to go to Helsinki and you need to book a flight there, I would recommend not booking flight 666 on Friday the 13th. However, if you're going to do that, you might as well get a good price on it. And the best way to get that price is from Upside.com. Upside.com does more than that, though, because a lot of travel sites will promise you that, right? I mean, that's what they all say. But Upside.com gives you the lowest prices, but it goes further than that. It will also give you options. So they'll say, hey, do you mind leaving an hour later or an hour earlier? If so, we're going to save you more money. And just for booking with Upside.com, they're going to reward you with a gift card to places like Amazon.com every time you buy a business trip. They have this great 6-star treatment for customer service specialists as well. They call them navigators. And they'll notice you're in a bad seat on one of the flights and they'll say, hey, we switch you to a better one. Use Upside.com and use the code Beck. They'll get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. It's code Beck for a $100 minimum gift card at Upside.com. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
The United States government has been defying the Constitution and breaking federal law since 2010. Not only have they effectively spit in the face of the rule of law, they've also made American companies accessories to their crime. I want you to understand, this is not just Glenn Beck saying this. This is a federal judge that has said this. Last night, the Trump administration announced that they were going to take steps to put an end to 7 years of federal crime and government overreach. This is actually a high crime. they're about to stop the subsidy payments to insurance companies that are, you know, used to power Obamacare. Obamacare, like all welfare state programs, had a significant problem when it was passed, and that is, how are you going to pay for any of this? So what they did is they came up with a cost sharing reduction. It's called a CSR. Those were the subsidies. That was the answer. Insurance companies were forced to lower prices and offer additional plans. But don't worry, the federal government's going to cut a check and we're going to pay you for all of those losses. This year, that dollar amount is $10 billion. It's expected to grow to $130 billion by 2026. Now, how are you going to pay for it? Congress put this act in, but never authorized the funds. Congress has the purse strings. So here's what you're going to hear today. This was reported on and debated on. You're going to hear all kinds of things. This is going to hurt the poor. It's going to make people's insurance rates go up, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things may be true. But what you have to understand is a federal judge has already said this is stolen money, stolen from you and the United States Treasury. It is completely unconstitutional and completely illegal. Billions of dollars have already been stolen from you and me and the Treasury every year. And no one has made a move to stop it. If Donald Trump didn't, it would have continued unabated, stealing money from the Treasury. I thought that was a crime. When the ACA was passed, Obama asked Congress to appropriate the money for the subsidies, but they never did. So, as any true progressive does, I'm just going to take the money anyway. The Constitution is specific on this, that drawing money from the Treasury without congressional appropriation is a federal crime. Insurance companies receiving these subsidies the past 7 years have been receiving stolen funds, and quite honestly, they are knowingly accomplices in that theft. Now, this is not the narrative you're going to see today in the news or on Capitol Hill. The internet headlines, Trump undermines Obama. Even my favorite, sabotage, capital letters in multiple exclamation marks. Not theft. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has already made a statement that his office will lead a lawsuit to fight this move. Now, this is the irony here is beyond belief. His job is to uphold the rule of law, but he's pursuing a lawsuit aimed at ensuring that the law continues to be broken. I know this hurts, and I know nobody wants to say this anymore, but we are a nation of laws. If we're not, we are a nation where any thug or dictator can do whatever they want. We are not a nation that makes exceptions for illegal acts because, I don't know, we got to do something. The loudest voices on this today will be Democratic congressmen. Never mind the fact that this was their fault to begin with. It would have been a lot easier than having the executive branch steal the money and have the executive branch do their dirty work. It would have been a lot easier if they just would have given the money, but they didn't. Maybe if we stop all those progressives that want this money, maybe they'll try to do it right next time. You know, the legal way.
It's Friday, October 13th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com, a legend and now a guy who you can see every day online at BillO'Reilly.com and hear his commentary. And it's good to have him out of the belly of the beast, as the belly of the beast is has a little upset stomach and is slowly dying, I think, that beast. We've seen a lot of stuff go on this week with the Weinstein Company And I think I just have to start here with the probably the most uncomfortable question I could ask you, Bill. And that is, tell me the difference when you see you lumped in with Roger Ailes and Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby. Tell me the difference between them and you, or Harvey and you.
Well, I'm not going to even get into that because that's just a lie. Been nothing put forth against me at all. And I think that in cases like this, Americans should want justice. And justice is what is needed in every individual case. But this is being used as a political hammer. Now, we've proven that. And there are powerful people, as you know, who have organized to bring out, trot out people to accuse other people of heinous things with no backup. And I'm actually going to do something about it soon because I'm tired of talking about it. I'm going to have to take some action.
I have to tell you,
it's not going to end. It's not going to end unless it's exposed. The whole thing is exposed.
There's two things that really bother me about this is that the accusations against Roger Ailes, Bill Cosby, and Weinstein are clear, and they're rape. It's bad stuff. That's not the same accusation with you at all.
No, but nobody cares because the people who wanted me silenced, they don't looking for the truth. They're not looking for perspective. They're not looking for anything. I mean, you know, look, I was on the Fox News Channel a few weeks ago. I mean, I have the number one book in the country, Killing England, the number one book. And I'm lumped in with these people. It's a disgrace. So I'm going to have to do something about it, and I will.
Bill, you said a second ago that, and I know what you're talking about. When it comes to you, there was an open effort, clearly provable by nefarious people on the left that did everything they could to smear and destroy you.
Correct.
And that's clear. They started to then go down the road with Sean Hannity. And I think Sean was the straw that broke the camel's back. I think you coming out and being put into the dustbin of the of Media Matters and their ilk, I think woke enough people up to say, wait a minute. There is something really wrong here.
Sure, because they're losing sponsorship and they're using the dishonest media to push an agenda and to try to silence people by using. Let me give an example. There's a tape that is around, and on the tape is an activist attorney offering $200,000. To a woman to accuse a famous man of improprieties. Now, whether that tape will ever see the light of day or not, I don't know. But I know it exists. My attorneys have heard it, and it's shocking. That's the level where we are in America today.
Why wouldn't that be made public, Bill?
People are afraid. If you go up against this far left cabal, they will come to destroy you and your family. It's almost like the mafia. It's almost the same thing. And, you know, it is disgusting. It's hurting this country. Allegations now become convictions. Accusations are facts. I mean, these talking heads, they don't know what happened. They couldn't possibly know what happened. They weren't there. But bang, you make an accusation, person's guilty.
So this,
and the game is really, really harming this country.
So I said earlier this week, that I think we're at a Berlin Wall kind of moment, and all that implies, and hear me out with this. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. That, you know, the old school being able to, you know, have a casting couch, that's over. Those days are just over. But like the Berlin Wall, this is a chance for people to come together and say, hey, let's not treat women this way. Let's be good to women. Let's not involve ourselves in anything like that. Well, let's stop it the minute we start to see it. However, just like the Berlin Wall, when it came down, a lot of the communists just took off their communist uniform and put a suit on and pretended, and things actually got worse. We're between doing good and a witch hunt. Which way does this one go, Bill?
It has to go along the fact line. And unfortunately, that's not where the media is. The media is in the witch hunt category, particularly if the media doesn't like your politics. So one of the best examples on the Weinstein front is, what did the left try to do? Drag Trump back into it immediately. Let's drag him back in, okay? Let's try to reignite that. And so people...
That didn't last long.
They're trying, though.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't last long. This Harvey Weinstein is just a despicable human being. And you're seeing even those on the left turn against Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's not universal, but a lot of people are saying, yeah, come on.
Again, the key word is Americans should want justice, demonstrable justice. And when facts are presented, then we evaluate those facts. You know, but if some person steps up without any kind of proof at all and makes some wild accusation against someone, that doesn't make it true, particularly if that person is being run by a political operation or motivated by money. You know, I mean, you've got to really step back and look and see and let the facts unfold. But who does that these days?
Well, let me take you to Amazon. There is this horrible story of this woman who what's his name? Not Andy Dick, the fiction writer from the 60s that wrote Man in the High Castle. Yeah, Philip Dick. His daughter, I think, was part of the rollout of the Man in High Castle. And she claimed that the studio head of Amazon was just beastly to her. I mean, really horrible stuff. And she said she went to Amazon and they said, we'll do an investigation. They did an investigation. Nothing came of it. Now, after Harvey has fallen, she came back in the press and she said, this is what happened. After Amazon did an investigation, they've now put him on a leave of absence while they say they investigate it further. This is I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but this sounds like the beginning of a witch hunt. If they've done an investigation, they should have been able to stand up and say, no, we did an investigation. It was false. But now they are just going to run for cover because people are just going to dogpile. They see your name, you're guilty.
Well, that's right. So, again, what has to happen to protect women and children, because children are a big component of this, all right, is that if anything untoward occurs to you, then immediately you have to go to the authorities, okay, and establish a record. That's why the authorities are there. And, you know, I say this, I've been in the broadcast business for 42 years. And I've worked for 12 corporations. I never had a complaint filed against me anywhere, ever. And all of a sudden I turn around and checks are being written by the Fox News Channel at record rates, and then everybody is under scrutiny. So, I mean, look, you've got to, if you want to be fair and you want justice, evaluate each thing as it comes down. But my advice to anyone, any American, you're abused, you got to report it. You got to.
Bill O'Reilly back in just a second. You can find him at BillO'Reilly.com. He does have the number one book in the country, Killing England. And you can hear his point of view every day at BillO'Reilly.com. Back in a second with more. Protecting your family is the number one responsibility. Simply Safe Home Security is a great way to do that. I know Simply Safe's founder. He was a math wunderkind, and his family actually is a very famous American tinkerer family. Well, he's at Harvard. He's in grad school, and his friends get robbed. Now, they're all living in these townhouses and in these apartments, and you know, they can't put a security system in because they have to be hardwired. They don't own the house. There's a 3-year contract. They're in grad school. They're extremely expensive. What do they do? So they went to him and said, hey, dude, can you help us out on it? He said, sure. So he came up with something and he just started, you know, tinkering in his spare time. And he came up with what now is known as Simply Safe. It started with just a couple of friends and then it spread all through Harvard. And pretty soon everybody had one of his alarm systems in because they didn't want to be robbed. Now you can have it. It's top shelf, complete security, 24/7 alarm monitoring and police dispatch. With Simply Safe, there's no contracts, no hidden fees. Their popularity has soared since he was selling them to his friends, at first just giving them to his friends. They're now protecting 2 million people. Protect yourself. SimplySafeBeck.com. You can get a 10% discount when you go there and order today. If you need your security system for some reason, I mean, it is Friday the 13th that Jason is showing up at your house, you might want to stop at your local Best Buy and get it for your home tonight. You'll be protected tonight. Otherwise, save the 10% by going to SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. And the congratulations, Bill, on another number one New York Times bestseller. I know that there was speculation. Watch, Bill O'Reilly's not going to be able to make it to number one now that he doesn't have the Fox engine behind him. And congratulations, Bill.
I appreciate it. A lot of that is due to you, Beck.
Not true at all, but I appreciate it.
But, you know, chatting with me every week, it's very nice of you to do it. And I think your audience, you know, responds to a book like Killing England. You want to know about your country. You love your country. That's a book to read.
So, Bill, let's switch topics here. Let's go to Donald Trump and the bill that he signed yesterday. Not the bill that he signed, the executive order that he signed, which is kind of a bad way of saying it because it's not really an executive order, just redefining or just making sure that everyone understands that the law that is already in place that says that you can form groups of people to come up with your own healthcare system can be spread more than just labor unions. It can go to churches and to workplaces and people who are just alike. A lot of people think this is really bad. It was helped by Rand Paul, and I think it's exactly the direction we should be going in.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, also attached to that is the ability for health insurance companies to compete everywhere. So no longer can a state say, no, you can't come into our state and sell your wares. So the combination gives Americans many more choices, and of course that will drive down premiums because competition always does that. So Trump realizes that, you know, Congress is corrupt at this point. I think I'm overusing that word corrupt, but what else can I say? That they're voting their own self-interest rather than the good of the people. And so he's using the system, the executive order system, to dismantle Obamacare and at least temporarily replace it with something that would give people financial relief. And it's a fairly good political strategy. I don't know how it's going to shake down and, you know, whether it'll be effective or not, but its political strategy is pretty good.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
From BillO'Reilly.com, the author of the new book, Killing England, Bill O'Reilly joins us.
Bill, you had a tweet this week, which has two sentences in it that I think are inarguable. A free press is vital to protecting all Americans. A corrupt press damages the republic. Both of those sentences, taken on their own, I don't think anybody disagrees with. The president,
President Trump retweeted that.
Yeah, and
this morning
he did, and this is on the heels of him talking about going after licenses. So I don't think what you're advocating there is that he should go after licenses.
No, that's a fool's errand, as they say, because it's never going to happen. I mean, you can't drag a license away from a big broadcaster. But President Trump knows that. He just uses that kind of rhetoric to get attention to his cause. Everybody should be able to figure that out at this point.
But wait a minute. Hang on just a second. But people don't know the First Amendment. I mean, when I tweeted something saying the First Amendment, first, the broadcast groups don't have a license. Second of all, let's not start asking for people to be licensed by the federal government if they have an opinion.
Sure.
And
sure.
If somebody's lying, then you sue them for that.
No, you can't. You can't sue them. So that goes out the window. But
what do you mean you can't sue them?
You can't sue them.
He can't.
If you're a famous person and somebody lies about you, unless you move to London, you're going to lose because you have to show malice and damages.
Yes.
So you'll never win in a million years, which is why they can lie about famous people all day long. But let's get back to Trump. What Trump wants the people to know is that the reportage concerning him is now organized not to seek the truth. So he uses the hyperbole of, well, let's take their licenses away. He can't. The government can't take licenses away. They can give an individual station a hard time. So if you have the Nazi station, all right, the government are going to give you a hard time. And maybe they'll get your license. But what Donald Trump wants to do is mobilize people to say, we would like to have a little bit of honest reporting. Doesn't have to be pro-Trump, by the way. But just fact-based reporting, just once in a while.
What would you have said? What would you have said if Barack Obama would have said it exactly the same thing and said, we need to go after Fox because they're lying? Because that's what they said about us.
He didn't say we need to go after them. But
yes.
He said on a number of occasions that if you believe these people, you're idiots.
Correct.
You know, all that kind of thing.
And then he can say that.
I don't want a big intrusive government telling broadcasters what they can and can't say. I think that's really dangerous.
I agree.
What I would like to see, though, is a change in the libel and slander laws where if somebody's lying about you, you can hold them accountable as they do in Great Britain. I think that would be part of the solution to this problem.
Do you think the right way, Bill, to take the Trump tweets on this sort of topic as sort of just bluster?
I always do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I've known him for so long, but his pattern of behavior is very clear. He gets teed off. He wants to vent. He grabs the little machine and tweets. He overstates it, but he doesn't care because he wants his point to get out to the most people. So that's it. That's the playbook, and he uses it every day.
That's honestly a comforting way to think about it. I think it's easy to get worked up when you have the president of the United States. He's the head. He's the most powerful man in the world.
I never do that. I never take what Donald Trump says in the fit of pique. Word of the day, pique, P-I-Q-U-E. I never do that. I always look at what he's trying to accomplish with the bluster, as you put it. So where is he trying to do? And he's genuinely angry about the treatment he's received from the media, as he should be. Every study shows the same thing. The media doesn't care anymore. We had Peter Boyer, one of the few honest reporters left, on the podcast yesterday on BillO'Reilly.com. And Boyer said flat out, the New York Times basically tells their people, you don't have to cover him objectively. We want him out of office. So do what you have to do to get him out of office. And that's the marching orders. That's what we have. NBC, same thing. Get them out of office. We need to get them out.
Forget
about what's true and what isn't true. Get them out.
Here's where we might have a subtle difference of opinion. I agree with everything you've said, except when you say, you know, I look at what he's trying to accomplish. I look at that, but I also look at what he's teaching people.
Teaching
people. For instance, he has a cult of personality. And give the details on the latest study on the NFL. The NFL, if you look at the studies on the brand of the NFL, listen to this.
See, conservatives this entire time have been annoyed about the flag protests for over a year. However, when you look at the approval ratings of Trump voters, of how they viewed the NFL, they were largely stable over the entire past year. Even with all these protests and such going on, Trump voters supported had about 30% negative view or 25% negative view of the NFL throughout the protests, even with the kneeling, even with Kaepernick talking about it, even with all these people doing this, until Trump said himself, until Trump took the stand about how bad the NFL was.
Right.
And then the opposition went from 25 to 60. Now, these people all knew about the protests.
There was another factor you're not taking into consideration.
All right.
You ready, Beck?
I'm all strapped in. I'm ready to go.
Okay. The far left started to promote it. The far left started to promote the insulting of the flag and the anthem. They started to drive it. Once they got involved, the conservatives and Trump supporters said, aha. Now we're going to oppose, because it became, at first it was small ball, and then it blew up into a big issue. And then Trump seized upon it to mobilize his forces. Very easy for him to do. And it's an easy, everybody understands it. Either believe that you should be insulting your country before a football game, or you don't.
Right, but so, that's not how they felt. They may have opposed it, but they still had a positive view of the NFL until Trump said something about it.
But without the far left. Once the far left got in it, then the NFL was attached to the far left because the NFL didn't take any action.
But whether it's opposition to the far left or it's support for Trump, let's say, because I think the far left was saying this the whole time. But I mean, let's just say it doesn't matter which one it is. Why would people, 30% of a voting public, change their opinion on an organization based on this battle?
Weren't paying attention.
That was a big story last year. Kaepernick hasn't even played this year.
It was big, but it wasn't nearly as big. But you asked me my opinion, and
all right.
Once it became clear that this was a social civil war issue, the NFL came down on the wrong side of the civil war.
And so you don't think that it had anything to do with Donald Trump and this being a war with Donald Trump and Donald Trump coming out and saying what he said, where everybody talked about how, this isn't even about the flag. This is now about being anti-Donald Trump. And so you don't think that 30-point swing had anything to do with I'm standing with the president?
No, because I don't think his popularity is at that level. I think Trump's popularity is somewhere between 30 and 35%. I mean, that's strong. We support him no matter what he does. That's where he is. Now, other people will come in if they like what he's doing with the economy, for example. His numbers are rising there. But I don't think he's got that kind of cachet yet. He might have it in 2 years to swing that needle so far. I believe that people get genuinely angry. They were angry about how the press was sympathizing with these people and how the NFL was being cowardly. That's what I think galvanized the movement against the National Football League.
All right, let's switch quickly to Iran. He is coming out, looks like he is going to come out against the Iran deal. Iran has said, you know, this is going to be very bad for our relationship. I'm fine with that. We don't have a good relationship with them. Where do you stand on what's happening with Iran?
Well, I don't know what look, Trump was very clear when he was campaigning that Iran was the worst deal ever and John Kerry is a moron and all of that. So he hasn't changed his opinion. But I think this is another case, and we were just talking about it, where there's more bluster than anything else. So I don't think he's going to throw the deal out. I think the deal will remain. But he'll decertify it. No one on earth knows what that means, including the Mullahs. Right? Decertify? What? Okay, he's not going to... Nobody knows what that means. And so, you know, we go, okay. So nothing really will change in the nuke deal, other than the president doesn't like it, which is a change because he's never liked it.
So when you look at his tweets, going back to the original question, and you say, well, this is bluster, so then you're not concerned about what's been said about North Korea, even in the last week?
No. I mean, if he wants to call this idiot Rocket Man, that doesn't bother me.
If he says they'll only understand one thing, and we're preparing for one thing, and things are all going to change soon, that's just bluster. That's not a signal
I'm not losing sleep over that, because he wants to put down a marker. And basically the marker is that, look, North Korea, if you attack anybody, we're going to wipe you out. That's the marker. It doesn't go beyond that.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Always great to talk to you, sir.
Is it really bad?
Well, really. Sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes
we
it's better.
We covered a lot
than
of
others.
Ground today.
We did, and I have to
and
tell
I heard,
you,
I love those chimes you have going on. It's just
thank
so
you.
New age.
I know. I will tell you this, Bill. I have to salute you for coming in. I mean, we hit you right between the eyes, and you did not flinch or back away from it. And I'm just impressed with the way you handle yourself on this.
Well, let me tell you, do I have 30 seconds?
Yeah, well, I guess.
All right. This whole thing that I went through is probably the most painful thing that I've ever experienced in my life, and it isn't over. But I am not going to take it anymore. I'm not. And it is disgusting. Everybody should read Cheryl Atkinson's book, The Smear. And I just appreciate you giving me the airtime, because a lot of people won't.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right.
God bless.
See you soon. Bye.
BillO'Reilly.com.
Hear Bill every day at BillO'Reilly.com. Also, pick up the book, Killing England. It's on sale everywhere, and it's the number one book in America, so you probably already know that.
The new Wave mattress from Casper, truly amazing. Tanya and I love it. Casper collected the research, 3 years of data, feedback, foam research, sleep science, all of the data, and then looked at people who were sleeping on Casper and the trouble that people were trying to avoid with their sleep, and that is pain. At least when you start to feel the effects of all of those years of being invincible, it's hard to get to sleep sometimes. And the Wave is a patent-pending support system that mirrors your body's natural curvature for a deeper, more restorative sleep. This is designed for people you have problems with your knees, your hips, your shoulders, and you have a hard time sleeping. The new Casper Wave is like the original, but it is, it's designed with a breathable foam, so you sleep cool year round. But it also has that breakthrough technology that is actually shaped like your body, or shaped like a wave. This is why it's in high demand. Hurry, get one today. Try it in your home for 100 nights, risk-free, with free shipping and free returns. They'll come and get it. If you don't love it, every dime is returned, and they'll come and get it. Go to Casper.com, use the promo code BECK, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, promo code BECK, Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
You know, it's a comforting place to live where Bill O'Reilly was living about Donald Trump, and just not taking his tweets literal, and just saying, you know, he's just blowing off steam. I don't know how you do that, quite honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I know I wouldn't have done that for Barack Obama. I would not have given him the benefit of the doubt on that.
You can. You have to take
people
seriously.
He's the president of the United States. But I will say that's how I live in the Trump world, really. I just separate the person into two people. There's a guy who's tweeting about all crazy stuff all the time, and I just ignore that person. But I mean, if you do that, and you look at this as if you're able to do that, which is a weird thing to do, the last couple of days, I think, for conservatives have been really good.
Yes, they have.
I mean, like, I think the stuff he's doing on Obamacare is right. I think moving in the right direction for the Iran deal. If you watched the Kelly, General Kelly press conference yesterday, it gave me a piece of calm, right? This is a guy who, you know, like people, Corker's like, well, this guy's saying stuff that's going to cause World War III. And then you bring General Kelly out there. Who knows more about it, General Kelly or Bob Corker?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to trust General Kelly sitting there, and he's dealing with these things, and he's not worried about World War III going on. Made me feel a lot better about the situation. But I can only get there if I do something that I would never give as a benefit to the left, which is ignore basically everything he's saying publicly.
Yeah,
it's not a fair standard, but it's the only way I get through the day.
I know, but I think it's dangerous. I really do. I think it's dangerous because people aren't paying attention. They're not listening to, they're only hearing the Corkers. They're not hearing General Kelly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so things spiral out. And, you know, to dismiss the president of the United States saying we should go after media companies that say things that we don't agree with, that's insanity to not listen to that. But you're right. If you don't listen to that, he does some really good things, at least this week.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
How would you like to have one of those old-fashioned pharmacies, you know, one that would deliver the medicine right to your front door or your office whenever you need it? It would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And all you have to do is become an elected member to Congress. That's it. For the last 20 years, the oldest pharmacy in Washington, D.C., Grubbs Pharmacy, founded in 1867, been the exclusive provider of all the prescriptions for the members of Congress. Mike Kim is the owner of Grubbs Pharmacy. He appreciates the uniqueness of what he gets to do. He gets to fill the pill bottles of all of the revered lawmakers. And he's used to knowing all the nitty-gritty details about the medicinal needs of the Schumers and Pelosi's and the McConnells of Congress. No big deal. He told a reporter this week, "At first, it's cool." Now think, why would this guy say this? Why would he say this to a reporter, knowing that there will be consequences to his business? "At first, it's cool. And then you realize I'm filling drugs that have some pretty serious health problems attached to them. And these are the people running the country," end quote. What kind of problems are we talking about? According to Kim, just your run-of-the-mill serious health problems like, quote, diabetes and Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's? Quote, "It makes you kind of sit back and say, wow, they're making the highest laws in the land and they might not even remember what happened yesterday," end quote. Kim took some flack for his admission that he fills Alzheimer's medicine prescriptions for some members of Congress. Later, he did do some backtracking, say that the illness that he listed was meant as a hypothetical. "I'm not aware of any member that actually has Alzheimer's and would certainly not disclose any information if I did know." Except he just basically did that. "As their employer, we have a right to know about the people who are running our country. Why would Mr. Kim say these things? Why? It's sad that some may have actual health problems. But we have a right to know if any member of Congress or the Senate doesn't exactly remember what might have happened yesterday."
It's Friday, October 13th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So I had a friend write to me just this morning. And he said, Glenn, I was listening to your show yesterday. And he said, let me see if I have this. I'm paraphrasing here. You talk about AI killing us all. I know that's the go-to line a lot of tech people take with AI. But the thing I want to get across to you is that's not the worst thing AI could do. No. Hey. Yeah. Okay.
You're talking about artificial intelligence could kill us all, and that's not the worst thing it could do?
This is a guy who is in Silicon Valley, very high levels, and he writes to me from time to time. And he'll say, hey, you've got this wrong, or you should pay attention to this, or hey, have you seen what people are working on over here? And so he'll write to me from time to time. I think I'm not sure if I've ever met him. Maybe I met him once years ago, but I'm not sure if I've ever met him. And he has written me for years, just for years. And I really respect him. He has a very sharp, sharp mind. And he's never asked for a meeting before. And he wrote me last week and he said, AI is starting to take a very scary turn. And I need to meet with you. And I said, will you come on the air and talk to me? He's like, God, no. But you need to know. And I need to make you aware of what is happening with AI. So he says, you know, AI killing us all may not be the worst thing. Well, what could possibly be worse? Stu, listen to this. Imagine AI, current AI, not some AI in the future, being able to identify a perfect stacked ranked list of every person in the country who works against whatever your agenda is from top to bottom. Let me say that again. Imagine AI, current AI, not some AI in the future, being able to identify a perfect stacked ranked list of every person in the country who works against whatever your agenda is from top to bottom. Don't get this on camera, please. Then imagine that AI being able to go online and post things on the internet that sound exactly like you.
Wow.
He hasn't even started. Then imagine AI being able to go online and post things on the internet that sound exactly like you, writing in your voice perfectly. Imagine AI can call people on the phone and sound exactly like you, can appear in videos, surveillance cameras, photos, looking exactly like you, walking exactly like you. Imagine an AI that is able to see everything that you do and then determine what the best way is to frame you for something you didn't do, then build the evidence against you perfectly to the point that you could never defend yourself in court. Imagine an AI that can orchestrate a pile of real blackmail evidence against you from things that you actually have done in your life, then tell the owner how to present it to you to make you completely snap based on your current medical and mental state. Imagine an AI that makes it so you have no idea what is real and what is fake. Glenn, this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about, and I can show you actual evidence of this happening now. You need to see it. Yeah, AI can kill me. Don't do me any favors. The worst concept is what AI can do in the hands of the wrong person or agency or political party or nation state. You've talked in the past about not being able to believe your eyes. We're there. That future is now.
Holy crap.
Holy mother.
Wow.
You do not want my friends. Don't want my friends. I don't sleep well.
Most people just emailed me to congratulate me about the Eagles win last night.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's, I think it ties into the situation with
with Russia. And the media has done such a job of trying to make this all about Donald Trump. The idea that a foreign power with almost unlimited resources could harvest and harness that type of technology to utilize it against somebody here or their enemies is
Have you heard what Vladimir Putin says about AI? Have you heard his latest statement in the last month? In the last month or so, he came out and he said, this is the final war. This is it. Whoever masters AI first will dominate and control everything on Earth. And so he's pouring all of the resources of Russia into the development of AI because I would imagine he knows the same thing my friend does. The entire world changes. This goes back, Stu, to a conversation you and I had in, what, 97, 96, when I said to you, imagine a time when you're not going to be able to believe your own eyes because they'll be able to recreate you and put you in photographs and put you in videos, and it's not you, but you won't be able to believe your own eyes.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about the Harvey Weinstein thing a lot this week. Imagine that sort of technology applied to this, to someone who didn't do it.
Well, imagine, okay, so we know that AI, we know that a year or 18 months ago, we heard AI imitate the voice of Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and I think Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you could tell it was a computer, but it was
pretty close.
It was really close.
For a it was just it wasn't a consumer facing process. Was it a university that was doing it?
Yeah, I can't remember.
But I mean, it was the first attempt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine how far they'll be.
Imagine how far it is now.
And it wasn't taking words from Barack Obama.
No.
And it was actually creating from scratch his voice and then typing in whatever you wanted him to say.
Correct. And you could tell, again, you could tell it was a computer, but it was the first attempt. Imagine that tape of Harvey Weinstein that the NYPD had, that undercover tape. You could create, especially somebody like me who's been on television. You have all my movements. You have everything.
Yeah.
You could create anything.
And this is one of the downsides of our society turning into 310 million individual broadcasters, because now everybody has had videos posted of them, of almost everything they've done. We all host our own little shows on social media and feed into this. And really, if this technology develops as your friend says it does, and he's at a high level of Silicon Valley,
you know who he is, right?
Yeah. And if that develops that way and unimpeded, you're going to be able to make anyone say anything, and you're not going to be able to defend yourself.
What's frightening is what the damage that is done. Imagine you want to start World War III. You can start it. You could absolutely start it. You want to start a civil war. Show Donald Trump meeting with Vladimir Putin and show him doing all kinds of wicked plans against the United States. You'd have a civil war. Neither of them were in the room. That wasn't true. What's frightening is not what comes in 10 years, but how perfected this technology may be at this point before everybody has it in their hands. Once everybody has it in their hands, but until everybody recognizes that this stuff is true and exists, it's just then a conspiracy theory. And how many people will be wronged or jailed or killed? How many wars will be started? How many things will collapse because it was used and people don't know that we have that technology? Holy cow.
I, for one, believe AI is responsible for turning the freaking frogs gay. I don't know if that's true, but I don't. That's what I believe.
No, I don't think that is.
Oh, no, that was chemicals in the water, but who knows? All I know is the frogs, they're gay. I'll say that.
They're definitely gay. I don't think they are.
They're totally gay frogs.
Have you been to their clubs?
They're kind of enjoyable, to be honest.
The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from the criminals, and the criminals go to jail. That's the way American stories used to be written, but not anymore. Now, good guys use a gun to stop the bad guys who are using a gun, and the good guy goes to jail. Thanks to our court system, that happens a lot, And that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. A simple way to become a conceal and carry home defense expert is to grab the 2017 Conceal, Carry, and Family Defense Guide from the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. It's 100% free. This is something that you and your family really need to know if you have a gun in your house. Also, the USCCA is on a mission to provide every responsible American with the free training to make sure the good guys, the people like you and me, don't go to jail for protecting their family and loved ones. 164 pages, comes with a bonus audio version so you can listen to it in the car, and it's a life-changing guide, 100% free. And for a limited time, you'll also get a bonus home defense checklist. I want you to visit protectanddefend.com right now. Get 100% free instant access. Find out how the USCCA will protect and defend you after you protect and defend. Protectanddefend.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Affleck. I want to play some... I want to play a couple of audio pieces that we have to get off our desk here before the weekend comes. One is Jane Fonda yesterday. Here she is talking about Harvey Weinstein. Cut one.
We have to be helped by men. It's important to know that not all men are predators. There are good men, and the good men have to stand up and defend us and
defend us.
Embody other ways of being. We have to believe the women who come forward. We have to speak out. I found out about Harvey about a year ago, and I'm ashamed that I didn't say anything right then.
Why didn't you? You're so bold.
I was not that bold because I guess it hadn't happened to me, and so I didn't feel it was my place.
What did you know?
One of the women who has spoken out, Rosanna Arquette, told me, and it came as a shock and a great disappointment. This male entitlement.
What did she say to you?
I want to leave that to her to describe what she went through.
Let's go to cut two. Here
I only met Harvey when I was old, and Harvey goes for young because that's more vulnerable, you know. But it's very, very common. Bill Cosby, you know, another example of Hollywood. But, you know, Dominique...
Strauss-Kahn. Of the IMF.
For example. He's not in Hollywood, but this, you know, this is not unique. This goes on at the most horrendous high levels.
So it's interesting that she says that she needs men to step up and protect women. You're basically calling for men to be chivalrous. But the feminist movement has done everything to destroy the chivalry in men, I think.
Yeah, and there's that. This is a tough story, and the Weinstein thing seems to be incredibly horrible, and he's basically admitted it. But there is this idea, again, it pops up there, the same thing from Hillary Clinton during the campaign. You have this right to be believed, and that is, I'm sorry, not our legal standard.
No.
Rose McGowan...
You have a right to be heard.
I think you have the right... Yeah, heard, sure. I think the right to be taken seriously is
yes.
completely appropriate.
Yeah, that's better than the right to be heard. You have a right to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
But for instance, the Amazon thing. So did they not take that charge seriously? Amazon, an actress has come out and said that she was, the horrible things happened to her, or said to her by one of the heads of the Amazon studios. And she reported it to Amazon. They did a report. They did an investigation and they dismissed it. Then after Harvey Weinstein, they have come out. She came out and said, I filed this charge. And yesterday they suspended the guy. Well, wait a minute. Which is it? Did you do a bogus investigation or what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a right to be taken seriously, but then an investigation needs to be done, and we need to be able to trust that there is no politics in that.
And it's really difficult. I mean, they had Rose McGowan tweeted at Amazon, someone she said that, I guess she said that she told somebody at Amazon that she had been raped by Harvey Weinstein. and she had been raped. And her recollection or her telling of the story is that the person said, well, I don't have any proof of that. And she said, I am the proof.
No, you're not.
That's not how our society operates.
No.
I'm sorry. I mean, if you these are terrible circumstances. Look, if you've gone through this thing, it's hard to imagine what the stress and toll that takes on somebody. So I'm not asking her to define the proper legal standards. But we need to make sure as a society, we don't embrace that. Hillary Clinton almost won the presidency and was talking about basically you believe everything that is said by an accuser. That is the opposite of what we do here. We actually go to great lengths to be skeptical of an accuser. That is what our society is built on and our legal system is built on, and correctly so.
I have to hear this audio. Ed Asner on MSNBC talking about Hollywood's reaction.
I'm joined now by a man who starred in one of those groundbreaking shows, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, winner of 7 Emmy Awards, more than any other man, Ed Asner, who helped demonstrate the changing culture of independent women in the workplace for millions of Americans each week. Ed Asner, wow, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you. And not even a kiss for me.
No, nothing, right?
Oh, my God.
This is a world
that... Listen to this. Here's this guy going on to talk about... And what, I don't get a kiss? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's on to talk about Weinstein, and he's brought on because he was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which did so much for women.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, by the way, when do I get my kiss? It's kind of a little awkward.
Believable.
A little awkward by Ed there. The way Hollywood is handling this is quite interesting. I mean, they gave as much as they could. The Ben Affleck part of this is kind of interesting. They're trying, because Affleck had some incidents where he did some things that he said he shouldn't have done. He apologized to one woman. Then everyone started circulating this tape of him on this Canadian TV show where he's saying these really inappropriate things to this woman. He's on her lap.
It's not him.
He said, so this, we got to get into what she says, because she basically says that that's not what happened at all.
You don't need AI to falsely accuse. We're doing it without AI.
Glenn Beck.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
If you missed any part of the show today, you missed a lot. Bill O'Reilly, we spent about 20 minutes talking about Weinstein and sexual harassment and what he had to say. I mean, coming from Bill O'Reilly, it was pretty incredible.
Also, we were talking about this Ben Affleck story right before the break, and it's interesting because he came out and made a statement against Harvey Weinstein. He'd been working with him forever, and people talked about how he may have known more than he let on. As soon as that came out, people started saying, hey, you remember when you grabbed some 20-year-old woman's VJ on MTV's boob in the middle of an interview? Hey, you remember that one there, Ben? And he actually came out and apologized for that when he said, I acted inappropriately. So now people are just like layering on more accusations, and a video has been circulated showing in 2004, I believe it was, Ben Affleck and a woman named Anna Marie Lozic, who is a Canadian broadcaster, and he's got her on his lap. He's saying that she should take her top off. It'll make the show better. It looks incredibly inappropriate.
Yeah, he looks sober, but he sounds like he's drunk. What he's saying, only an out of control crazy man would say.
Yeah. And Pat Gray joins. I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Pat. She says that after all this goes on, she says, I can't say I'm thrilled to have that interview mixed in with the other stories, because I don't think it's at all the same thing. This is for the camera. You have to understand that we have done dozens and dozens of interviews like that. It was for a show I was producing, so I was not at all a victim. When the cameras rolled, we would start to do that game. As soon as it stopped rolling, there was none of that. He never touched me in any improper way. He was very respectful, I must say. It's been blown out of proportion. I know that people like fishing for anything, but this is completely out of context.
Okay, can you go back to the first sentence that she just said?
I can.
Listen to this. Okay, now that you know the truth, listen to the first sentence she says.
I can't say that I'm thrilled to have that interview mixed in with the other stories, because I don't think it's at all the same thing.
Stop. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I'm not thrilled. I'd be outraged. This is a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is there's two fires that are consuming California right now. They're both destroying homes and lives. and one's burning down all the facade in Hollywood. And I think along with the guilty, some of the innocent are going to get burned in this fire.
Oh, and it's not just going to be, it's going to be everywhere.
It's
not going to just be on left in Hollywood. It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to see corporations and everything.
Already you've got all these actresses pulled into it. You've got these actors like Affleck. You have Oliver Stone. You've got other producers. They're talking about major Hollywood guys. There's a lot more we're going to find out before this is over. It's just, it's amazing. Did you guys see the story, the global warming story about the Antarctica penguin chicks?
No, I have to, sorry to say.
Excuse me, Harvey, but we don't refer to them as chicks.
actually, they do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these are penguins, and so they, this is in Antarctica, where they claim, you know, it's warmed faster there than just about anywhere else on the planet due to global warming.
Yeah.
So the penguin chicks are starving. And they died by the thousands.
You just say the
this
young
year.
Females.
The young female penguins.
Yes.
And they're male penguins, too. They're penguin babies.
Doesn't matter. The facts don't
matter.
They're
starving.
You're an African-American, even if you're from Great Britain.
Now, the problem is unusually thick ice formed by, of course, global warming and warming temperatures.
Wait, what? Wait, hold it just a sec. Hold it.
Listen to the first sentence. The first sentence says, with unusually thick sea ice forcing their parents to forage further for food in what conservationist Friday called a catastrophic breeding failure. So first of all, they blame the penguins themselves. Okay, the penguin parents are so stupid, they can't have their babies in the right place. Okay, so
moron penguins.
So first, it's just idiotic penguins. They had this coming to them. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Do we want them to live? I guess, but they're too dumb. Then they attribute the disaster to extensive sea ice in the late summer months, meaning the adult penguins had to travel further to find food with all the babies dying while they waited. Wait, extensive sea ice in the summer? Extensive sea ice in the summer is brought on by warming? Well, yeah. Jan-Roper Kuder, senior penguin scientist at the Atlanta...
Wait. Stop.
So is he a penguin that is a scientist, or is he...
He's a senior penguin scientist.
So he's an old penguin that studied at school.
Is he an old penguin, or just the highest ranking penguin who is also a scientist, okay, or is he a human that studies science and penguins?
It's difficult to tell from this sentence. But he's at the Antarctic Research Station adjacent to the colony, and he said the region was impacted by environmental changes due to the breakup of the Mertz Glacier, which, by the way, happened nowhere near these penguins. It happened way over on the other side of the continent.
But they were walking.
They were walking, and there are other factors they give here. They will give us that there were a few other factors, like a mix of temperature, wind direction, and strength.
A mix of temperature. So it might have been that temperature
been really
was
warm temperature.
Could have been really cold.
It could have been really cold temperature. We don't want to say the word cold, though, so I'm assuming it's warm. I'm thinking hot winds.
How many times
and heat caused this?
How many times has your power gone out and you've opened up your refrigerator and you went, it is so hot, it's chilly in there.
And I was thinking the whole time I'm reading this, wait, what is extensive ice caused by
water and heat
and hot winds,
right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, brought on by global warming.
Have you seen the ice shelf in Death Valley that is forming?
Oh my gosh, it's huge.
Gigantic. Mm-hmm. There's no water and there's no cold in the desert, but this ice shelf that is forming.
When it calves, imagine what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You'll
have little baby calves and chicks.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yes. Nowhere in this article does it say the word colder. Nowhere in the article does it say that temperatures were cold causing this to happen. The whole catastrophe was caused by colder temperatures than normal and more ice than normal. And to the extent that these babies died as a result of it, and they never say the word cold. Yahoo News is just so on board with the Al Gore machine right now.
Well, it's unbelievable. They better be. Have you heard the latest? We started the show with this. really frightening development from Al Gore. He was in an interview and a reporter asks him, so you're, I mean, first of all, you're a reporter asking Al Gore, you think you're being led into the room if you're not global pro global warming?
No, you're okay. Not.
You're not. So a reporter asks him, so I've talked to a scientist who is studying the sea level rise in Florida. That's his gig. And he says that it's not happening. And yet in your movie, you say this. And Al Gore said, well, I don't know who that scientist is. Is he a denier? Well, no, he actually believes in global warming. He just doesn't know if it's as bad as what you're saying. Al Gore then says, are you a denier?
Wow.
Then he says, no, I too, I'm just questioning if that is accurate in your movie.
And he says, I too agree with man-made global warming. I'm just not sure how what the level of problem is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm working to try to decipher.
And Al Gore deems him a denier.
Oh, you are a denier. Because if his answer of saying, yes, I agree with man-made global warming, but I'm not sure how big of a problem it is, yes, you're a denier.
You're a denier.
This is a point Stu's made quite a few times, in that if you're not completely on board with, yes, it is happening, yes, it is caused all by man, yes, it is catastrophic, then you're a denier.
No. And yes, carbon tax. This guy believes in a carbon tax. Both the scientist and the reporter that have now been deemed deniers. He believes in a carbon tax. So you have to believe in the carbon tax. You have to believe in everything that they want to do is the right thing. Otherwise, you are now a denier.
That's a terror. I mean, that is a terrifying.
It's frightening.
Standard.
It's frightening because they're starting to say that people who don't believe as they do must lose their jobs. And in some cases, they're suggesting jail time for them.
Yeah.
The charges be brought against
them. So this scientist has left his job. He left his job. They started a campaign against him for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, he left. He still has his job. I think he's moved his studies to other.
Yeah, that's
he's
right, talking. That's right.
He does a lot of studies on like doping in like the Olympics and stuff like that. Now he's like moved to that
area
instead of global warming because he doesn't want to deal with it.
He said, "I need to operate in a field where everybody's not trying to get me fired."
Has he applied for senior penguin scientist?
He's not a penguin. He can't.
If he was a penguin, we would call him.
I got it.
But then again, you know, penguins can never get their cell phones out.
And that's true.
The flippers, they can't actually...
Well, they use Bluetooth, I think, mostly.
That's bad. So, yeah. It's bad.
Peck it with their beaks.
Pat Gray, Unleashed. It happens about 15 minutes, only on the Blaze Radio Network, immediately following this one. From October 1st... The Business Insider, legendary investor Jim Rogers, said about fear, gold, and the sector to be bullish on, quote, everyone should have coins, physical coins, as an insurance policy, as an emergency, if nothing else. I hope you never need them, but you have to start by owning gold coins because they are recognized all over the world. This is the thing that, you know, people will say to me, Glenn, if you would have invested in the stock market, okay, yeah, well, I could have made money and I did invest some in the stock market. Okay, my 401k, I got it. Yeah, well, gold is, you know, still at about $1,200 or $1,300 an ounce. Yeah, I don't buy it for an investment. I've told you for years, I buy it as an insurance policy. Exactly what Jim Rogers was saying. Jim, so you know, has been around people like George Soros and got away from him after he collapsed the sterling. He knows what it looks like when a financial system is collapsed. This is why he's saying, just as an emergency, I hope you never have to use them, but you should have gold. This is why I trust Goldline, the only place I buy gold from and the only place I would recommend to you that you buy gold. Goldline. Ask about their price guarantee specials this month at 1-866-GOLDLINE. That's 1-866-465. I'll go slow in case you have a flipper and you're a penguin. 3546. 866-465-3546 or goldline.com.
Beck. Glenn Beck.
Hey, so Hillary Clinton had an interesting quote, and I thought this was on the Harvey Weinstein thing, where she is talking about the money she received from Harvey.
Yeah.
And she wasn't sure how much it was, and we can get to that here.
Well, she said there's no way of knowing. Yeah, there's actually a really easy legal way.
Yeah, and that's...
You had to report all that money.
Yeah,
but
that's
anyway.
How that works, and a lot of it is because of policies she... pushed for, right?
So now
it's working for her.
Right.
But they asked if she was going to give some of her money, the money back to, I guess, who? And she said, well, there's no one to give it back to, Clinton said. While other people are saying, well, what my former colleagues are saying is they're going to donate it to charity. And of course I'll do that. I give 10% of my income to charity every year. This will be part of that. There's no doubt about it.
This will be,
No. It would have to be in addition to what you do every year.
Right. This will be part of that. No, you have to take the, I think it's $1.4 or $1.6 million dollars.
Total is $1.492 million. Dollars.
Yeah. And you give that to charity or you give it back.
Plus the 10%.
Yeah.
If you're just giving the $1.492 million dollars back, and that just included in the whatever amount of money you're giving to charity anyway, then it's not like you have a separate vault with Harvey's money and you're going to take that money and give it instead of your own.
They don't care. They're never going to give this money back.
No, I mean, and regardless, the reason, a good chunk of the reason why they have so much money is because of people like Harvey Weinstein promoting them into celebrity candidates that they can now cash in with book deals and gigantic $500,000 speeches. Those are the people, and that doesn't even include that money. How many speeches has Harvey Weinstein attended that were $500,000 speeches for Hillary? You know, it's really it's ridiculous. A $250,000 to the Clinton Global Initiative as well, and that's just, you know, on top of that. And
the
I love
Clinton
this
Global Initiative. All that money, all that Haiti money. That's you know, that's in the hands of,
and now
they're not the people.
Yeah,
say that it's not in the hands of the people. So
no.
Yeah.
They're talking about Hillary now coming, you know, getting on board and helping out with Puerto Rico. Please don't Haiti, Puerto Rico.
Oh my gosh!
Please don't Haiti it. You've done plenty for Haiti.
Who is asking for that?
I want to say it was Howard Dean.
Of course, of course. The people of Puerto Rico are not asking. The people of Puerto Rico are certainly not going, hey, send us, have you been to Haiti lately? It is beautiful what they've done.
Oh, what a success story.
My gosh, you go to Haiti and you will honestly walk around saying, where is all the money? Where is all the money?
It's such a weird dynamic too, because it's so beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful island, right? If you're looking out from a high point towards the ocean. And then
if you don't see any human structures,
yeah it's incredible.
Other than that, it's you know, I don't even know, Baghdad. I mean, it's horrible,
and it doesn't seem like they've come very far since that earthquake. And look, Puerto Rico I think will do a lot better than that, but there's pretty big problems going on there, and you can't depend on the government to do everything for you. And the response I think started out pretty well, but you wonder. You need a lot. What you need there is endurance.
Yeah.
And whether the American people have the endurance to help put that thing back together,
I think we have more endurance than they have less of corruption. That's the problem. Yeah. You need no government corruption getting in the way. And we also have other problems, and that is in California. Our prayers to all those who are in harm's way. You can help them by going to mercuryone.org and donate and get behind the action to
help. Glenn Beck.